The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. So is the feast, a solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity. And I think we can start with the prayer that we know so well. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, never shall be, world without end. Amen. I was listening to Bishop Barron when he was talking about the Blessed Trinity, and he said that preaching on the Trinity is the nightmare of preachers. So that on a day like this, that priests and preachers are a little bit nervous on what to say, because you cannot explain sufficiently the mystery of the Blessed Trinity. But the Trinity forms the fulcrum of our faith: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. And these three persons have what we can say to be distinct roles. But these distinct roles make God to be fully manifest, to be fully available in our lives. If we take it from the second reading of today, St. Paul gives us what looks like the most eloquent description of the Trinitarian communion, when he writes, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." So St. Paul brings this into focus: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is grace. God the Father is love. And God the Holy Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. And I want to tell you that each day you preach the Trinity. Each day you live out the Trinity. Each day you also give the Trinity to others, because in each of us dwells the presence of God the Father, the presence of God the Son, and the presence of God the Holy Spirit. Pure love, perfect love in us. So St. Paul says, greet each other with this holy kiss of God's love, this holy kiss of God's blessing, and this holy kiss of God's peace. And if we go back to that reading a little bit, it says, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So, one of the things that we see when we talk about the Trinity is relationship. Relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in this Trinitarian communion, we see God at work in the love that he shows to us. So God the Father, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen described it, is the lover. God the Son is the beloved. And God the Holy Spirit is the shared love or the breath between God the Father and God the Son. So look at it as circle, right? If you draw three circles, and each of these circles touching one another, they unite at the center, right? They come together at the center. And in this center, you see love, and then love touching the beloved, and the beloved touching the shared love. So God the Father breathes and breathes out this love, and God the Son gives back this love to God the Father, and then this love begins to do what? To spread through the Holy Spirit. When Christ was in the world, if you like, read through the life of Christ, from the beginning, the Annunciation, the Holy Spirit is present. The angel announces, you will conceive, and you will conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are overshadowed by the power of God. So the Holy Spirit begins at its work. Right from the moment of the Annunciation, right from the moment of conception. And Jesus begins his baptism. The ministry starts with his baptism. At the moment of baptism, the Holy Spirit is at work. The Bible tells us that right from the time John the Baptist came to baptize Jesus and Jesus agreed to that baptism, there are things that happen. The voice of the Father, the dove, and the Father speaking. This is my Son, the beloved. Listen to him. So you could see the presence of God the Father, the presence of God the Son, the presence of God the Holy Spirit at work. And through the ministry of Jesus, you will see that Jesus encounters people and meets them where they are at, and then he takes them up. At his ascension, Jesus says to his disciples, when I am taken up, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will reveal to you all things. Will reveal to you all things. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you. So that revelation is the continuation of the mission of Jesus. But this mission is that God sent his only Son, God the Father, sent his only Son into the world, that whosoever believes in him will be gathered together back to the Father. So it's like this. God sending his Son into the world, and then the Son going back to the Father and bringing everyone again through the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus sends this Spirit to the disciples and commissions them by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, by the working of the Spirit. And everything that the disciples did, the healing of the man at the beautiful gate, the raising of the lame and the blind, the opening of people's mouths to speak, everything is done through and with the power of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at work. So when we think about the Trinity, we think about what is God inviting us into. Paul introduces us into this love and makes us to understand that we become agents of this mission. Agents of the mission of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people say, I can feel Christ. I can feel his presence. But I cannot feel the presence of God the Father. Something is missing. Right? Something is missing. And in some cases, You imagine what our experiences in life look like, because sometimes we have the image of Father that we have, perhaps because the experience wasn't fine, because the experience wasn't good, the experience wasn't positive. So when you hear about God the Father, it's like, oh, my crazy dad, right? Yeah, my crazy dad. But that is not good. That is not correct. God is not Father as your crazy dad. God is not Son as your disobedient son. God is not Spirit as your disobedient, as your disappointments and failed promises. That is not what God is. God is perfection. God is purity. God is love. And that love is the love that we are invited into. One way that I see the image of the Trinity, this is my own understanding and my simplest way to make it kind of practical and appreciable, is light. Think about light, right? When you stay in your house, what you see is the bulb or the light that is shining, right? That light has a source, correct? If the source of that light is not functioning, will that light be on? No. So that source is the Father, the source of that light. And then that light that you see is the connection that you have with the source of the light. That is the sun bringing that light. And then in that light, there is radiance, there is beauty. This is the Holy Spirit spreading through the room. If you off that light, what happens? You will stop seeing, right? If you put it off, and you have to put it off through the switch, through the socket. So you're going to the source to take off that generativity. So that generativity comes from the source, and that source produces the light, and the light shines and produces beauty, radiance, happiness, safety, security, joy. If you take that out, then something is missing. If you can see that this way, then you don't disconnect the Father from the Son and the Holy Spirit, because it is the same God who is at work, who is producing the same effect in you. And that effect is that you live in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it says God sent his Son into the world to do what? To redeem the world, not to condemn the world. That is why Christ came. So it's not your Father who is crazy. Because what God came to do, what Christ came to do, is to restore you to friendship and to love. So God the Son is not scary. He's not come to punish you because of your own mess and your own addiction or your own failures or your sins. He has come to restore you to friendship and love of the Father. And God inspires you to not live in the past. And that is where the Holy Spirit works in and through you. St. Augustine is one of those who dwelt so much for a long time trying to prove the mystery of the Trinity. St. Augustine did this for 30 years. 30 years he was trying to prove the reality of the Trinity. Because St. Augustine was doubting at first, and then wanted to get in and become converted. So he needed to know every truth. So he wanted to prove that, humanly speaking. But he couldn't do that for 30 years. At the end of it, when he got converted, he wrote what is like one of the best descriptions of the Trinity. And the book is titled On the Trinity. St. Augustine said that if you see charity, you see the Trinity. If you see charity, you see the Trinity. And then St. Augustine used three things. He said the Trinity can be described as, number one, the mind, number two, self-knowledge, and number three, self-love. This is theology. Hello, are you still awake? Okay, you following? Good. Okay, I will try to step it down too. I will. But that's the Trinity for you. So St. Augustine described the mind, self-knowledge, and self-love as working together. And Bishop Barrow used an analogy to explain this. And that analogy is, if you have been to counseling, as an example, to therapy, or even spiritual direction, right? If you have been to spiritual direction, when you go for spiritual direction, it is you, right? You are there, but you go to do what? To look at you, to work with the therapist or the spiritual director to review you. So your image of you is being reviewed. So it's still the same you, right? So the spiritual director or the therapist begins to work on you. Hey, what is the cause of your fear, your anxiety? What is the cause of your depression or whatever it is? You are reviewing you with the spiritual director. So it's not two separate persons, it's the same you. But when you come in there, then the spiritual director or the therapist begins to work with you and then gives you intervention. So the first thing is the you, your mind, how your mind works. Your mind tells you things. Your mind directs you to either what is real or what is not real. And then the self-knowledge is what you now work with the spiritual director to think about, how much is my internalization helping me or my externalization helping me to process me very well and very correctly? And then the self-love becomes the next you. What do I need to do different to become a better me? So you can look at that. There's no three persons. It's the same person that is working, but is this generating different things in you to make you to begin to appreciate you better and to work with yourself in a better way. So one thing that I want us to understand is, number one, the relationship aspect, and then God himself becoming human in us through Jesus. The letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, St. Paul says, though he was in the form of God, Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and becoming obedient, he died, and death on the cross. So Jesus comes to take flesh in us in order to do what? To bring us into the unity of the Trinity, into the love of the Father, love of the Son, and love of the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 23, this is what John says. Jesus was speaking, and there he says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. Right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. We will come to him and make our home in him. We will come to him, God the Father. We come to him. God the Son, we come to him. God the Holy Spirit, we come to him and make our home in him. So the Trinity is the God dwelling in us and making home in us, so that we might share in the life of God and become home for others. That's the fellowship. That's the fellowship. Somebody was talking about her experience with strangers, which is one way that God reveals himself to us. She described a time when she was in high school and she was really, really phobic about flying. So she said she had a lot of fears. Fortunately, she entered the plane to fly from one state to the other, and there was a storm. So she said it was very scary. But while she was sitting there, some elderly man from nowhere walked straight by her seat and sat beside her and began to say, it is all right, it is fine, be calm, we'll get to our destination. This is God revealing himself to us. And what is that man making that young lady to do at the time? Making her to do what? To feel at home. So how many times have you had the experience of meeting someone you don't know and you feel at home? How many times have you met someone and you feel like, hey, this is God revealing himself to me. This is God presenting himself to me. Think about it. How we can make strangers feel at home. The image of the Trinity that was revealed in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 18 was Abraham sitting at his house and the strangers, three strangers, walking past at the oak of Mamre. And Abraham being what? Welcoming them, making them feel at home. I have a friend, a priest friend, who had a very, very ugly experience this past week. He's from Nigeria, and this man, some hoodlums just came into their house with guns, AK-47, and they came in. Nobody knew what they were looking for, but unfortunately, his cousin was in the house standing in front, and they asked him a question. Before he could open his mouth, they shot him on the head, and he died instantly. They thought it was over. They went the other side and saw another of their neighbor, a young woman, and they asked her a question. Before she could open her mouth, they shot her, and she was dead. They went into the room. Their mom is about 90-something years with dementia. And they went in and shook her and shook her and shook her. And eventually, they left her in that panicky mode. But the woman who was taking care of her noticed what was happening and then escaped through the back door. Then these crazy guys went to their neighbor. And his uncle was there. They asked him questions. Before he opened his mouth, they shot him and he was dead. Three people gone down. And it had been crazy for him and his family since Friday. So yesterday I checked on him and I said, how is home? And he said, home is empty. Home is empty. Right? That statement for me touched is huge. Home is empty. So there is nothing to feel again at home. There's no presence again at home. Home is empty. Home feels like darkness. And that is why, what is home? Home is where the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God the Father, the presence of God the Son is. And what does that presence do? That presence makes us to make others feel God, make others feel at home. And that is why when you talk about it, I've been here for 9 years, right? Here has become home for me because I feel the presence of God with the people I'm working with. I feel the presence of God when I talk with you. I feel the presence of God when I relate with you. I feel the presence of God when I associate with you, and you feel the presence of God in and through me. So we become image of God the Father, image of God the Son, image of God the Holy Spirit. And I want to conclude this homily by inviting you to think about the sign of the cross that you make every day. The sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, correct? Yes. What do you do when you make the sign of the cross? You invoke the presence of the Trinity in you, right? You invoke. So when you invoke, what are you doing? You are relieving the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we do it even so carelessly that we don't know what we are doing because it's become one of those things, right? But when you think about this gospel passage, St. John saying, God so loved the world. In the name of the Father, God the Father so loved the world, and of the Son, sent the Son into the world, and of the Holy Spirit, that we may be gathered together back into the love of the Father. That is what we are saying. God the Father sent his Son into the world, not just into the world, sent his son, because you are now making this sign of the cross. It becomes God the Father sent his son into my heart, that what I may be gathered to the Holy Spirit, and that I may gather others to the Holy Spirit. That is the amen that we say. So God the Father sent the Son into my heart, that I may be gathered to the Father, and that I may gather others to the Father. When I teach children this, I say forehead, chest, left, right. And one lady called me one day at after Mass at St. Bernardine and said, "Father, there's a way we even help children to understand this more." And she said, "It is head, chest, hug yourself, over." Hello? Does that make sense? In the name of the Father, head, and of the Son, chest, and of the Holy Spirit, hug yourself, and then amen is over. And I can deepen that a little more, so it becomes head, chest, hug yourself, gather others. Right? That's the amen. So we become images of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then we not only become hosts of the Trinity, but gatherers for the Trinity. Amen.
Amen.